Paul says this to us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of his lips, giving the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Oh, this morning, if we could learn the value of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15, the importance of lifting up the name of Jesus Christ in glory, honor, praise, laud, and honor. He deserves it, doesn't he? Listen, we talked this morning about the greatness and grandeur and the wonderful things that Jesus Christ did for us and how his name ought to be exalted above every name in our lives. And it's something that we ought to practice in our lives. But the Bible makes this statement there in Hebrews 13, and I think it's an important statement. It says that it is also a sacrifice. It is. I don't care if it's at church. I don't care if it's at home. I don't care if it's with loved ones or with other Christians or it's in the world. Every time I use my lips to praise God, the Lord says that's a sacrifice. It's a choice that I make. It's a choice and a meaningful from a heart of love for my God that I lift up his name. And glorify his name. That's what every Christian ought to do. We need to realize that the sense of what it is to praise God and lift up his name and the importance of it in our lives and to our relationship with him. I love the psalm that Brother Gibbs just read to us this morning, as many others, but it's a psalm that encourages my heart about lifting up God's name in praise. I like what Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 10 tells us there. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And so I need to realize in my Christian life, as I seek the Lord, as I try to honor God with my life and with the fruit of my lips, God says, I'm not going to let you lack anything that you need. Listen, God has been very good to every one of us. Listen, if you're saved here this morning, you have the greatest gift this world can ever give. What do we have to be jealous of the world about? What do we fret that the world has more than us, or they have more time, or they have more vacation time or money to do things because we give to God? They have more, it seems, more fun than we do, we think sometimes in our mind. We don't realize we have the greatest gift that can ever be given. That's the gift of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice and his blood on the cross of Calvary for my salvation and for yours. And so praise the Lord that he's given us such wonderful blessings, and he deserves praise in our lives. Praise is a very important part of our Christian lives. Either it is or it ought to be. Either it is or it ought to be. We might be very praiseful people already. You might be a person who gives a lot of praise and lifts up the name of the Lord in praise as well. But we, no matter who you are, you ought to endeavor to do more of it. Does God have enough glory? Does God get enough praise? Is God's name lifted up on high enough? He can always use more. If we do not praise the Lord like we should, listen, we're missing out a key part of our Christian life about what helps us to grow, but also helps us strengthen our walk with God and give us the stability and the strength and the boldness that we need. It's something that we ought to practice. There's many areas of our lives that we ought to offer praise, and not only with the Lord, but in a general sense in life. We know that it's true. There are many, there's parents who praise their children for doing something well, and so they ought to. Coaches will praise their teams when they win the big game, or an individual player who makes a good play. Bosses praise their employees for a job well done. And we often give honor and praise at times for dignitaries when they do what's right. It's making them feel welcome and appreciated. And think about that. As we give praise to one another, and so it's good to do, think about how we ought to praise God for all that he's done. You know, he doesn't get what he deserves. Think about I remember I praised my wife the first time I ever preached, my wife gave me a cheesecake. And she knew the weight of my heart, amen. Now, she wasn't my wife at the time. We weren't even dating or anything like that at the time. She just brought it to church and made me a cherry, one of those no-bake cheesecakes, man, with cherry topping. I ate the whole thing myself. No, actually, there was a bunch of Marines with me, and we went to the Geedunk, and we sat there, and it was called the Buccaneer. I don't understand that name, but it's called the Buccaneer. And all my couple of Marines were with me from church, and they all wanted a piece. I'm like, man, I don't want to give any of this away. I want to eat it all, you know. And I praised my wife through the years for that kind gesture, and especially back then. I was so thankful. But look what we do for someone who gives us a cheesecake, you know. Look what we do for someone who says good job or nice job, or they give us a compliment, or they do something good but small. And compare that to the praise that we give God, who's given us all things. He deserves honor and praise, and he deserves proper praise in our lives. And that's something we should endeavor to do. Every Christian, no matter who you are, you ought to practice praise in your lives. If you want to be kind to someone, think about this. You offer them praise. You ever meet people like that? They offer praise to everyone. They find stuff to praise people about. And there's a reason for that. They want to make people like them. But it's a good thing to practice. Now, praise God, yes, but we ought to practice it in all areas of our life so we can become better at it for the Lord. By the way, are you practicing praise? How about in your marriage? Do you practice praise? By the way, you say, well, if you say the old lady, you're not practicing praise in your home. If you say the old geezer, now if you're saying it lovingly and teasing each other, that's one thing. But, you know, you got to practice praise in your marriage. How about this? That lady's still married to you, man. You got to practice praise, amen? She's been married to you for whatever number of years. That's a wonderful thing. You got to practice praise. You got to practice praise of your children. You got to practice praise of your parents. Honor them, bless them, thank them for what they've done in your lives. You say, well, I don't have a great relationship with my parents. So what? Offer praise to them. Hey, you wouldn't have life without your parents. Praise ought to be something that's often in our lives. When we connect with someone new, we often open up dialogue by offering praise. I was out door knocking this week. I think it was yesterday. And I came up behind a garage was open, and he had a Rambler in there. Yeah, anybody remember the Rambler cars? 1962. And you know what I did right then? Man, I have something to praise him about. Boy, he liked me. He listened to me for quite a while. We talked for like 15 minutes. Why? Because I gave him a word of praise over something that he cared about. Praise ought to be something that's involved in our lives in general. But, and God blesses that. God uses that. Someone once said that it's easy to keep from becoming boring, or an easy way to keep from becoming a bore, just praise the person to whom you are talking. They'll like you real quick. They won't think you're a bore at all anymore. But with that said, we do not need to believe that all praise we often get. By the way, if everyone praises you all the time, beware, the Bible says. If man's praising you all the time, be careful of that. We know that any good thing, any blessed thing in our life is really as a result of what God's done for us anyway, amen? He deserves all the glory, honor, and praise in our lives. Praise is something that's found throughout the Bible. The word praise or praising can be found 252 times, just that word, not to mention the associated words that mean kind of the same thing about glorifying God and worshiping God. These things are all involved, but 252 times specifically, praise or praising is found in the Bible. The word means to be clear to shine. It means to make a show. It means to boast, to celebrate, to make a boast of something, to celebrate or commend, to glory something, or to sing of something worthy of praise. And so we need to realize, I like that simple definition, making something clear to shine. When I glorify something or I praise something, I'm making it clear to be identified by others to say, here's something significant. Here's something that's special. Here's something that means a lot to me. And so when we talk about praise and we talk about God, we need to understand that we're making a clear path for other people to see what really matters to us. I had a doctor's appointment this week, and the doctor there was talking about basketball, and that's what's important to him. He cared about basketball. And I said, do you mean to tell me we're in the playoffs already? And he goes, yeah. I said, I didn't even know the season started. That's good for me, amen. But he praised something that was important to him. I'm not picking on him for that. I'm just saying it wasn't important to me. It hasn't been for a while now, basketball. But it was to him. So he made a clear presentation, a clear sight, if you will, clear path to what he cares about. So he praised his team. And so it is in our lives. We ought to tell the world, it ought to be clear to what's important to us, a clear path of what's exciting to us, and that is the Lord. And we ought to seek to glorify him and the glory in him. The word glorify is found 22 times in the Word of God. Glorify means to render or esteem something glorious. In a wide application, it means full of glory, to honor, to magnify something, and that goes right along with praise. Not only do I make a clear path or a clear sight to that which I care about, but also I ought to magnify it and honor it with my life. I ought to make it bigger, make it larger. That's why you and I were called by God to praise him and to glorify him with our lives. We're to enlarge the name of Jesus, and we are to lift up the name of Christ to this lost and dying world so they can clearly see the Lord and they can honor God and see how important he is to their life, because not only have we made a clear path, but we've magnified him. We've made it easier for them to see. In this world that we live in, it's often true that people have a poor picture of who God is. They have a confused picture of who Christ is. The Catholic Church has done that. The Catholic Church has confused what Jesus Christ is supposed to be. I'm not picking on them today, but they picture him as on the cross still so often. And so, if you will, the Mormons obviously are mischaracterizing who Jesus is. The Jehovah Witnesses bring down him and lower him below God and less than God. But yet we need to, in our day, glorify God. The emerging church has got a different Jesus out there too. He's a cool, hip, relatable Jesus. But I want you to know that the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, ought to be treated with honor, glory, and respect and praise in our lives. Magnify him. Make a clear path to the Lord. Make him significant in your life. Make sure this world knows it. What is it that's important to you? The world knows it. What is it that is clearly something special in your life? The world knows what it is. May it be the honor and glory of Jesus Christ who saved my soul. That's what this world needs to see. So first of all, I want to say this today. Number one, praise is something that we need to continually practice in our lives. Praise is something we need to continually practice in our lives. Every one of us need to do that. You need to be praising and uplifting the name of God and practicing that all the time in your life and practicing that in life in general, as we already mentioned. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Let us not underestimate the value and importance of praise. Often much more is done through praise than pointing out problems. Do you know that? Much more is done through praise than pointing out problems. Relationships can be started and developed much more through praise than they can ever through criticism. As a matter of fact, if you start out a conversation with someone criticizing them, they're not going to listen to you very long. I often say this when we go out door knocking and we invite people to church and we witness them to them. Don't sit there and criticize their church. Guess what? They're going to shut down right away. That's not going to do well. Matter of fact, your pastor, when he talks to a Lutheran, you know what I do? I tell them about a Lutheran man I appreciated in my life. That's what I tell them. I try to make a connection. When I talk with Catholic people, I'll say this. I had some good Catholic folks in my church in Puerto Rico. You said you had Catholics in your church? Yeah, they like my church. They say, we like you, Brother Sage. Number one, you don't mumble when you preach. And number two, you speak in English instead of Latin. And in Puerto Rico, they spoke in Latin in their services, not Spanish, not English. And so, I said, I always liked those people. They were saved people. I say they were good people. And they got saved. And sometimes when you win an 83-year-old Catholic person, It's hard to break them completely away from Catholicism. It's just ingrained in them sometimes. But I always say I appreciate those Catholic folks. I always say I can win a Catholic person to Christ. I just get their Bible, amen. Their Bible, the Romans Road, by the way, is about the same as ours, amen. And so I love leading the Catholic person to Christ out of their Bible. And then they'll believe it because it's the same, so it works out well. But listen, find a way to praise and make a connection. Criticism isn't going to help. Listen, there's no room for criticism when it comes to praise. Why do we do that, by the way? You ever hear someone say, you're a great person, but, you know, I hate that word, but, you know. Oh, I really like the way you do things, but I would do this, you know. Leave criticism out if you're going to praise. Hey, how about this? There's no room for gossip when it comes to praising. There's no room for gossip when it comes to praising. There's no room for negativity or critical spirit when it comes to praising someone. There's no room for selfishness or self-centeredness when we are seeking to praise others and keep the focus on them. Hebrews 13:15, as we read, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Secondly, number two, realize the value of praise. Realize the value of praise. Praise is very, very valuable. Think about this, a couple things. Praise always gathers attention. Praise gathers attention. Matter of fact, if someone says, Brother Gibbs, you look good today, you go, who said that? You know, I'm going to look around. I'm that way. They say, hey, you know, they say something nice, you always say, who said that? I want to know their name. I always say this, whenever someone compliments my preaching, I always say, they're a very spiritual person. I get excited. I like that person automatically, you know. We can't help ourselves. Praise gathers attention. Whether it's right or wrong, whether it's true or not, whether the motive's pure or not, people will always get your attention when they say something nice about you. And it's just life. You can't help yourself. It always gets the attention. It gets that person noticed, and often we will look on that person with fondness to some degree or another. If someone tells you how great you are and how wonderful you are, you can't help yourself. You say, well, what's that mean in regards to God? I don't think you should do it with any pretense or wrong motive, but when I praise God, I get his attention. You think in this world where no one's praising God, very few people are lifting up the name of God, he does not notice when you praise and glorify and honor his name, as he said? So praise gets one's attention. Secondly, praise magnifies its object. As we talked before, when we praise or glorify something, it magnifies it. And so praise magnifies its object. Psalm 34, verse number 3 is there in your scripture. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's what praise does. It makes something look greater and larger than it would without. And so when we praise each other, we magnify each other. When we praise God, we're magnifying him in this world that we live. Praise in the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, it increases his kingdom. The scope of his kingdom enlarges because we have magnified his name. We're making a clear path, as we mentioned. We're making it clear for people to see. Psalm 138, verse number 4 says, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Hey, how is this world going to hear the words of his mouth if we don't talk about them? How is this world going to learn about Jesus Christ and what he's done if we don't magnify him and glorify him and lift him up? Praise always magnifies its object. Now, it's not always correct. Praise isn't always correct when it comes to us. I remember when I played football in high school, my coaches would praise me to the newspaper reporter, right? And they said, oh, this guy, he's 6'2", 260 pounds. I was 6 foot 220, but they tried to magnify me. So, man, those other players were like looking for, where is this guy? It wasn't the guy in front of them, apparently. So, but sometimes praise isn't always true when it comes to me and you. But you can never praise and magnify God too much. You can never lift up his name too much. You can never make him greater than he is when you talk about his love and his care and his tender mercies and his kindness and his compassion for mankind and his willingness to come down and save anyone. You can't praise him or magnify him too much. More people ought to know of his saving grace as we praise his name. Then we see this as well. Praise gives the Holy Spirit opportunity to work. Praise gives the Holy Spirit opportunity to work. We're talking about the value of praise. Praise gathers attention. Praise magnifies its object. And praise gives the Holy Spirit opportunity to work in our lives and in other people's lives. If you would, Ephesians 1:13 is a good verse because it reminds us of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." And so when we talk about the Lord and we talk about the word of God and we lift these things up, it gives the Holy Spirit opportunity to work and to make a difference and to touch lives. I knocked another door this week, and the fellow said, I'm agnostic. You know, that I don't care. That doesn't bother me at all. It gives me an opportunity to lift up the name of the Lord. I quoted him about three good verses, 1 John 5:13, John 14:6, and another. And I wanted to tell him, I wanted to magnify the name of the Lord in before him. I want to let the word of God sink upon his heart, and I wanted the Holy Spirit to take the word and do a work in his life. Maybe I couldn't do it, but the Holy Spirit, through the Word, can do the work, and that's my goal. I challenged him once again, as we always talk about. He went to Baptist church some when he was growing up, and I said, would you do me a favor? Why don't you just read the book of John? And if you're really searching after the true God, you read the Gospel of John, and you pray to God, say, God, if you're real, open up yourself to me and show me yourself. I don't know if he'll do it, but God will. I believe that. Let's magnify his name. Let's lift him up. Then the Holy Spirit can do a work in lives around us and in our lives. If you're out somewhere, you can lift up the name of the Lord and praise him for what he's done for you. That magnifies the Lord, and that gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work in someone's life. If you're at work and someone says something good about you, you should always say, praise the Lord. You're not going to get in trouble for that. Matter of fact, I challenge you, that's just you giving glory to the proper person. And if you do get in trouble, I got someone's phone number you can call, amen? But listen, the fact is we ought to lift up the name of God because it gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work in people's lives. I don't know how many times it's happened to me and it's happened to some of you where you are in a situation at work or at school and you talked about the Lord and someone else was convicted nearby of what their need was. Just because you lifted up the name of God. You reminded them of the importance of God in your life. You made a clear path. You magnified the name of God in their lives. And the Holy Spirit, an opportunity to work in that person's heart. When you say things like, praise the Lord, thanks be to God, God bless you, or the Lord bless you, and you say it with a sincere heart and a true motive, giving glory to God, the Holy Spirit has a chance to work in people's lives. And so it's not always Scripture, and I think we ought to use Scripture all we can. But when you and I give glory to God, it gives the Holy Spirit a chance to work. It can also help the backslidden person, a person that's not serving God any longer, though they may be saved. It gives them an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to the heart, to get right, and to start following the Lord like they should again, and their responsibility before God. But obviously, the greatest thing we want to look at here today is the third thing. Praise belongs to the Lord. Praise belongs to the Lord. He deserves it all. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Notice verse number 2 there in Psalm 34. It also says there, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Listen, he wanted other people to hear this glorifying of God, the boasting in God. Verse number 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. How valuable it is, not only that we praise God, but that we praise him together. I got to share that with someone else this week, too. I got to talk to them and said, you know, they talked about, well, I worship God every day. You know, like, you know, who are you to invite me to church? You know how people do that. I worship God every day. And I said, well, that's good, and every believer ought to do that. But there's also something special about when we come together and glorify God and praise his name together. The Bible says, how important that is. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. There's a synergy to that praise. There's a magnifying, a greater magnifying of the Lord when we magnify him together. When Brother Gibbs or Brother Sponsor or myself lead and sing and give God your all. When we all give God our all in our singing and our praise, and we do it with a true heart, oh, God notices, God sees, God blesses, God helps us through what we have need of in our lives. There are endless reasons why we ought to praise the Lord. There's endless reasons why praise belongs to the Lord. A couple of things here, and I can't mention them all, but he created us. Amen. God deserves your praise because he created you. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He created us, and then he paid our sin debt. He paid the debt of our sin. Listen, he did all the work. He made the sacrifice. He shed the blood. And the Bible teaches us in 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. He's done this for you. Not only has he created us and he's paid our sin debt, but he's also our sustainer. He makes it so that we continue on. He seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise. He takes care of our every need. 2 Corinthians 3:5 reminds us that not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And so he sustains us. He gives us a reason to go on. So he deserves our praise. He gives us a reason to go on. I love Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. I know I quoted a lot, but the Bible teaches us there, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He's with me. He's the authority behind everything I do, and so he's the reason I can go on and serve him. Listen, sometimes in this dark world that we're living in, this day that's ever departing from the living God, in a society that cannot be called Christian in any way that we live in, and even those who claim the name of Christ often, as we mentioned before, will use his, in the next sentence, will curse his name with a cuss word. I'm not talking about those guys. That's not, we're not a Christian nation anymore. He gives me the reason to go on. This world may discourage you. Your workplace may discourage you. At times, your family may discourage you. Maybe even your pastor might discourage you one time or two. But listen, God is the reason that I go on, and he deserves the praise. I like this. He's our comforter. He is our comforter, meaning that when no one else is there, the God of heaven gives his Holy Spirit to us. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Listen, he is our comforter. He deserves praise. He's the one that makes us a new person. He's the one that makes us a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He made you anew. Isn't that good? Aren't you just glad he's given you the Holy Spirit to live within you? He's given you a new nature, God's nature in your heart, the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And now we can have a new life in him and have victory over sin and self. Praise God for that. Amen for that. Listen, he's given us a home in heaven. Don't you love John 14, verses 1 through 6? I love that passage. It's such an encouragement to me still today. I often quote it still today. I'm going to turn there because if I don't, I'll mess it up. But the Bible says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus, in verse 7, number 6, said unto them, unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, think about that. He's given us a home in heaven, and we'll someday be with him forever. Yeah, the Bible teaches us he deserves all honor, glory, and praise. We have so much to praise him about. Listen, we can praise him because there will be a day when he wipes away all tears from our eyes. Think about that. The Bible says in Revelation 21, 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's a great verse there. You know, I'll be honest with you, every one of you probably have a reason to shed a tear this week. If not for your nation, for your family, for a loved one, for a loss, for a brother or sister at church, for a great need in your life. God says there will be a day when he'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. Oh, that'll be a wonderful day. We have much to praise the Lord about. We could go on and on. We could talk all day, all night, weeks on end, months on end, years on end about why we can praise the Lord. But let me finish up by saying this. Praising God encourages the brethren. Praising God encourages the brethren. You know, one of the ingredients that made the first church there in Jerusalem such a great church was the fact that they were praising the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, we'll read this real quick. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Can I remind you that when we're a praising church, it encourages each other, amen? When we lift up God before one another, it gets one another excited about the things of God. And when we praise God, we automatically have favor with God's people. Not that we're trying to get that favor, but we want to honor God. And in doing so, it does bring favor upon mankind. It encourages the brethren. And by the way, God adds to a church that's praising and lifting up his name with sincerity and truth. Oh, the things that God's doing in our life should be shared. The things that God has done for us ought to be mentioned and encouraged, used to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews 10:25 tells us and reminds us that of the fact that we should not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see today approaching. We exhort each other as we keep lifting up the name of Christ. Church is not just good for coming and learning the Word of God, but it's a place where we can come unmolested from the world to praise God as much as we want and encourage other service to God by that same praise. It is not by a complaining spirit that anyone's ever encouraged. No one's ever encouraged by your complaining spirit. You know why people have a complaining spirit? They want some company in their misery. That's it. That's all. We know the statement, the phrase, misery loves company. Complaining loves to have someone to complain to. Don't be someone who receives the complaints. It doesn't encourage the brethren. But rather, church isn't a place where we come to have a complaining spirit or a dissatisfied spirit, but we ought to have a spirit of thanksgiving and encourage each other thereby. I want to have that spirit. By the way, does everything always work perfect at church?
No.
Is everything always good and the way it ought to be at church? No, not as long as you and I are here. Amen? But why point it out? Why point it out that, Jim doesn't have his hair combed right, or, Paul's grown a beard back there. I don't know if Paul's ever grown a beard. I don't know. What do you have to really complain about? And by the way, I'm not preaching against beards. I don't care. We find something to pick about, and it does the church no good, does the brother no good. When we come to church, let's lift up the name of Christ. Let's honor the Lord. Let's lift each other up in prayer and encouragement, and others will be encouraged thereby. We have nothing to be sad about. We have nothing to be dissatisfied about. God has met every need that we have. If He saved your soul, He's given you eternal life, He's given you a church, given you a family, God gives us everything we need. You have a roof. And by the way, if you don't, let us know. But everybody's got a roof over their heads, food on the table. None of us are starving. We're far away from that. We have much to be thankful for. Some of the greatest Christians I know, I always say, were the poorest people I knew. They didn't have nothing. I've told you many times about Sister Thelma, a lady in my church in Puerto Rico, was very poor, from Jamaica. Was living in Puerto Rico illegally, and her daughter had died there, and her visa had passed, and she was still staying in the house that her daughter had bought. House has fallen to pieces. First time I visited her, all the furniture was upside down and everywhere around the house. And as you Baptist minister preacher, you go to a lot of houses, you don't say anything, you just kind of ignore it. I didn't think she didn't say a word about it. Happy as anything. I was like, what kind of house did I come into? Turns out I didn't find out for about a month. All her house had just been flooded. She never complained about it to anybody. She was right by the Rio Piedras River. She had no food. When I go to visit her, I check her refrigerator. Because she had no support at all. Had no health care. But the greatest lady who could praise God like no one else in our church was Sister Thelma. And she would lift the name of God, and you know what it always did for her pastor? It encouraged him. And so it is with you, and we do for each other. God deserves all honor and praise in the first place, but while we do it, it'll encourage other people around us that will go on for God, serve Him, and make a difference for Him. Oh, I love that verse number 8, because it explains a great problem we have when it comes to praising God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know why we have a complaining spirit? We're cast down a lot. One of two things. Either we haven't been tasting lately how good God is, or we're not trusting in Him. And Christian, if you're saved here today, keep tasting how good He is. It's in His Word, amen, every day. Walk with the Lord. Spend time with God. Be at church. Encourage the believers and be encouraged by them. But perhaps you're one of these that have not trusted Christ. Friend, trust in Christ. Confess the fact that you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you. Repent of that sin. Place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He will save you. You can do that today during the invitation, or you can do it in your seat. But I encourage you to come. If you're not saved, trust Christ today. And may every one of us Christians determine in our hearts with everything we have to offer up that sacrifice to God, the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let's stand. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we pray that You'd bless the invitation. Lord, speak to hearts. Help us this morning to praise You as we should. Oh God, we don't praise You as You deserve. We don't honor You like You deserve to be. Help us to practice that in our daily lives, Lord. We need You, Lord. We look to You. We trust in You. And Lord, help us to practice praise in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you would, turn in your hymnals, the 492. Maddie, do you know that? Okay. Maddie's going to come play for us. 492. As we sing, maybe you just want to come praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Or thank Him. Maybe you need salvation, whatever the need is. You come as we sing that song. And I'm going to make sure it's in Maddie's hymnal before we get started, though, because some pages are missing. It's a good 492. Let's sing that together. 492. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. I messed it up. I'm sorry. Let's start from the beginning. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let's sing one more. You come. Me at the throne of mercy. Find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me. All right, thank you for coming this morning. We're so thankful, and I hope you'll practice praise this week of our Lord and Savior. He's done so much for us. Hope you can stay for lunch. We have a great lunch, a special lunch today, so come on back and enjoy it with us. There's plenty of food. And then the 1 o'clock service, important service about leading young people to Christ and how we can make a difference in that area. And especially VBS workers, we want you here for that and some things we want to give you at that time. Amen. Brother Jonathan Gibbs, will you come close the service in prayer and pray for our food that we're going to partake of?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, God. Thank you for this message, Lord. I know that it touched my heart and is a good reminder from your word of the need to praise you continually in all things and to bring praise and edification to others as well. Please bless this food we're about to eat and bless the rest of this day in the second service. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.